Yeah.
Hello,
sorry,
everyone.
I was multitasking poorly. And I'm ruining the intro. You know what? I'm going to shut up.
Every week. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're excited here because it's National Haircut Day on Monday in the UK. And there will be queues around the block. Well, Muller doesn't count. But you can see that it's getting there. I need a haircut badly. I've had enough. I've got to get something. Oh. Joining me to discuss all the big stories in the tech week. Fantastic panel. Starting us off, Ian Grant.
Hello, mate. How are you? Yes. I am also, live from York with hair that being a look, Robinson Crusoe and shaggy and God knows what
else. Yeah, but the beard, yes. You've got no excuse for, because you can do that yourself.
Yeah, I've done the beard. I tidy the beard up, but I leave it. I like it a bit longer, to be fair.
Don't bring that pathetic excuse. Oh, for Christ's sake, Muller, get a mute!
But I've got a haircut booked next week, whenever it is. At the end of the week, I've got my barber. I'm booked in, so I'm looking forward to that.
There's queues around the block on the 12th, and the places are dead on the 13th, so it should be all right. Are you well, buddy?
I'm very well, sir.
Excellent. Good.
Don't worry. Says it's a badger. Someone in the chat room said this beard's a badger. It's not a badger. It's just paint. I've been painting.
Muller, go on mute, for Christ's sake. No, he can't hear us. Can you hear us, Muller?
What he's doing? He's muting us, not himself.
He's looking for an early grave at this point. Jeffrey, how the devil are you, apart from the fact there's a bomb a block and a half away from you right now?
Well, apart from that, I guess I'm okay. Welcome to America.
So not content with a shooting the other week, you've decided to compound it with a bomb threat this week.
Yeah, mass shooting. And while that was going down, then we had the barricaded shooter. And now we have a bomb.
So is it a verified bomb? It's not a suitcase that someone's left by mistake. It is a bomb.
They're not saying right now.
Okay.
But, I mean, they definitely have everything blocked off. I did exactly what I shouldn't do, and I ran out my front door into the middle of the street and took a photo of the police blockade and then ran back inside.
Good luck. It can't be any worse than typing over the top of someone while they're trying to talk.
Oh, yeah. What I did is far better.
Yeah. Next to Jeff, it's Patrice Adingo. Patrice, that would be you.
Mute.
You're on mute, mate. See, that's how it's done, Muller. Except it's not intentional, I guess, by the quizzical look on Patrice's face.
Yeah, the bewilderment.
Oh, dear. What I can't work out is that two grown people have not worked out how to use Skype yet.
Well, to be fair, this is all new to us.
Yeah, no.
We're old, aren't we?
So we'll go to Muller while Patrice sorts that out. Hello, Muller, you noisy bastard. How the devil are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm going to get my new chair for you on Monday.
Fantastic. If only you could then remember to mute when you're sitting tip-tapping or going over the other side of the room to move a quarter of a ton of concrete, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I did bring a chair up, but it was too short. I'd have been down here. So,
good.
It's over there.
As long as it's not creaky, that's all that bothers me.
And a hello, Damo.
And Patrice is in. Hello, Damo. Yeah. Is Damo in the chat?
I don't know why Skype decided to set the microphone level to zero, even though automatic setting is off.
Yeah, that's
yours.
There's that.
Yeah.
But to answer your earlier question, I had a good week.
Oh, right, okay.
Weird week, nice. But a good week.
Because you've been on holiday, because it's been Easter, and you've had a bridging month.
No, I mean, well, yeah, Monday was a holiday, but I've worked all week, but it's,
Have they not issued Tuesday through Friday as a bridging days to get to the weekend, no?
Some people on my team have done that. I didn't.
Okay.
There's, like, during COVID, there's very
So you've been
point
smart here, because you've
off.
Gone to work going, yeah, I'll go to work, realizing that everyone else is off. So that you can actually sit there with your feet up on the desk doing bog all. Pretty much.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, see, I knew it. Kind of. I knew it. You can't hide it from me.
No, I've been busy, but I got some stuff done, so maybe that's the difference.
I've had a good week because I got paid for last week when I didn't have to do anything because someone let me down at the last minute. But they've decided to pay the bill anyway.
That's good.
I'm sure I'm going to have to pay something back to them in the future for it. But it was good. And I got recall yesterday saying, Ewan, you've got to write a report. It's got to be here by close of business tomorrow. And I thought I wasn't going to make the show, but I did. I've done it. I've been spent all day and most of yesterday and all of today writing the report. So it's all right. It's all right. The Week in Tech. All the big stories that have gone on. I dread to think what Muller's brought best on what he posted in the Slack room earlier on. And I would gladly talk you through it, except the video in there never even mentioned what it was. It was just the video was like, we know lots of things, but there's something that someone else has discovered, and we don't know if it's true yet, but it might be. And they didn't say what it was. You pathetic.
Well, they didn't know. That's not my story, actually. I thought somebody else would bring that.
Because it was a crap story. who's going to get the first story then? Who is first off out of the hatch? It's Patrice. Ladies
and
first,
I did
then.
Not bring that story since Muller already spoiled it. So I brought a different one. There's like on the Android side, there is, I would say, one of the big three, four manufacturers is shutting down their smartphone business, and that is LG. Haven't made much money, apparently. I mean, they've basically lost a lot of money. And they have decided to call it quits. They can't compete with like all the Chinese manufacturers anyway. They can't compete with Samsung. I mean, I think the sales were like 10% of what Samsung was selling in the same time. Like it just wasn't worth it. And LG said, well, we're going to focus on like I think car parts and like home automation and stuff like that, and just not do it. The question now is, who's going to step in? Like, is it just going to be Apple and Samsung for the smartphone market, and like for China, some like Huawei or so?
Well, the Xiaomi as well, isn't there? I mean, those are still kicking around in the background. They will still be some really class leading phones. And what's the company you make all the other particularly sort of class leading phones that always, is it Oppo?
There was always the,
no, I can't think of his name now. What's one, those ones.
I'm trying to remember them. So that's how good they are and how important they are.
Yeah, neither of us can remember the names of them.
Yeah. Was it like, what is that company called? Something One.
No idea.
No idea. Exactly.
I'm usually okay with that kind of stuff, but I have no idea what you're on about.
I will in a minute.
OnePlus, yeah.
OnePlus, thank you.
Thanks, Petwench.
Yeah,
I said it as well.
The thing I always think about with the smartphone market
and
is whether
it's... And says Nokia as well.
The thing I always think about with the smartphone market, though, is whether it's cost of performance in the market. So, in other words, like your phones aren't being bought. But mm-hmm. LG, I think, is. I've seen quite a few around over the years on running Android and stuff. But I just think what kills the phone market is actually cost of development. And it's like, how do I stay ahead? And that rat race of keeping mm-hmm. ahead, at a certain point, you look at that cost, and that cost exceeds anything that you've got as a negative from the production and sales costs.
Yeah. And I mean, especially, I mean, I think one issue of LG was they had some interesting designs, but there was nothing particularly special about them. Like, I mean, Samsung is throwing like everything at the wall. They're just trying everything.
The thing is, though, a lot of these phones are all made in China. They're all made to a certain design. And I don't think LG make their own phones. I was listening to a podcast today, and Nokia don't make their own phones. They're all made in China. They're all made to a specification. And then all they do is go, we want this, this, and this, and this in the phone. And then they bring it all back in-house, do a little bit of design on the top, and then they're all made there anyway. So
yeah,
I think
OS
LG are one of the ones.
It starts with a logo and that kind of stuff, but the core mechanics of the phone and the rudimentary designs, I think, are absolutely just...
even Apple's ones are. They're all built for... they're all built in... I can't think of the name of the...
Foxconn.
It's a big Foxconn, yeah.
And, okay, yeah.
It'll be those guys. Those guys are building a lot of the smartphone market.
They're building it, but the one thing I would say is if you said to me, designed in California, I believe that, whereas if you got LG saying designed in South Korea, I'd go, yeah, righto.
Yeah,
part of LG's
design passed through South Korea, like on the from China through South Korea back to China.
Yeah. I mean,
can we let Jeff talk, because Jeff did get in there.
Okay. Part of LG's problem is that they were coming up with interesting and clever ideas for some of their phones, but they weren't implementing what they were coming up with in ways that were compelling to consumers. You know, like they had the one phone where you'd flip the screen, and so you had this kind of T-shaped phone with mm-hmm. two screens on it. Okay, that was really clever and different. But nobody knew about it. Where was the market for that?
Mm. No, and also nobody knew about it. Like, I mean, has anybody seen LG like advertisement? I mean, Samsung is everywhere. I haven't seen any LG ads.
No, there isn't.
You never do. Yeah, you never do. Mm.
You're relying on them. Mm. Yeah,
they just couldn't come up. They couldn't grab a part of the market like they needed.
Mm-hmm. They're renowned for .. filling the gap.
Well, they did one thing back in 2013, though. They built the Nexus 5. That was an LG. That was LG white box for Google.
Yeah. But that ran under the Google brand. So
yeah. But, yeah. So they didn't. So the only one that sort of did anything mm-hmm. wasn't branded as LG.
It's not surprising, yeah, is it, that LG has stepped away from the phone market? I think it's the R&D and the fact that they just don't have a hold in the market. They're not specialising in anything. They're not renowned for anything. They don't do anything that's extra special. So why would you have them at all?
Yeah, I suppose
they had that fold-out phone, though, didn't they?
Mm.
Was that the one that Jeff was just talking about and you weren't listening to because you went somewhere else?
Oh, yeah.
No, he couldn't hear me over his chair.
The folding phone, that's not LG. That was Huawei and Samsung, I think.
No, I'm sure LG did a curved screen.
They've got one.
They have a flipping. That made the scroll screen phone that's never going to hit market now.
Yeah. And you really
did do a curved one as well.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're probably going to stay in the display market and like on the parts that they're building, that they're they're manufacturing for Apple and for Samsung, for example, or at least Apple. I'm not sure about Samsung.
Yeah.
So they're going to do something. They're just not going to have their own phones. So yeah, it's. On one hand, it's a little sad for the Android market.
If you stop the average person in the high street and said, "What are LG famous for?" Down to a dozen, they're going to say TVs.
TVs.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So the thing is, it's like it's like the old chartered the Chartered Business Institute, or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was called. Confederation of British Industry. There you go. The Confederation of British Industry went to such and such and said, "What, rebrand us?" And they went, "Call yourself the CBI because that's what everyone calls you. So there's no point in trying to say that you're anything else. Just be the CBI." And they did. They just rebranded them as CBI, and that was the end of it. And if your core market, if you go out to the person in the high street and say, "What do you know LG for?" 99% of them say TVs. You might get a few microwaves. Or a couple of other products, then you just go, right, let's just make TVs, chaps, because that's what we're renowned for. We are world-leading TV producers.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with what they tried. Like, they tried to break into the market. They just didn't, I mean, maybe they didn't invest enough. Maybe they didn't have the right people, the right ideas. Maybe it was simply a market that they couldn't get into. But there was nothing wrong with trying. I mean, Microsoft tried. And failed. Like so many have tried and failed so far. I
don't think Microsoft failed. I think they gave up.
Yeah, they gave up after they failed.
Well, they released the Kin for 6 days, and then no one ever got their hands on one. And then they bought Nokia and walked away from that.
Financially, that was a massive.
And that was under Satchin as well, and he was going IoT, IoT, IoT. And the one thing I remember saying at the time was, if you're throwing all your chips in down on IoT and spinning the roulette wheel, surely you'd want to keep a device which enabled access to all your IoT. That just seemed a no-brainer to me. And yet now, where's all the Microsoft IoT?
Yeah.
Because they've got nothing that interfaces with it.
Yeah. I mean, Batrange is saying Windows Phone was brilliant, the last one.
It was. I mean, I had a 1020, and it took fantastic pictures, 44 megapixel images. You could crop it, and it would still look good. I went out on a job for London Underground during the summer of, I'm going to say 2014, might have been 2015, might have been 2016, but about that time. And I went out with my phone, and all I was doing was getting the images and posting them, emailing them straight up to the comms department, and they were throwing them out on Twitter. And my Windows 1020 was the star of the show at the end of the 2 weeks that we were out. It was absolutely brilliant. And it was the first phone that really got the idea of taking a fantastic picture and then allow you to email it to someone. Simple as.
Yeah. But again, it was too little too late. It ultimately failed.
I have a work colleague that bemoans the loss of it. He loved his and would always say it's the best phone he ever had.
It was the best camera. It's not the best camera. It was the best camera at the time. It's not the best camera that there ever has been, but it was the best camera at the time by streets.
The best camera in the phone, definitely, yeah.
By streets, yeah.
I like their tiles, the tile setup. It was really quite intuitive.
Ah, well, you need my picture, mate. That's the thing for today. So you need my pick, though, if you love the tiles. I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, teaser.
I need to text Ellis now and get him to remind me what it is. But good story, mate. Excellent. NHS uses AI scan to detect heart disease.
I saw this one. It came up earlier in the week. They're using an AI, I think it's called Kari-Heart, as a scanning tool. And they you go in for a review and, you know, they're checking out your heart runs and everything else. And the analysis from this is better than what the doc can do. And they've also went sort of out of, what was it, there was this number I saw here. 1 in 3 of those considered low risk were recategorized as high risk. So it's saving lives. AI is doing something useful. Fits in perfectly the physician's workflow. It's an Oxford technology, 15 sites around the UK currently. Patients aged 40 to 70 have chest pains.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, since I work in that space, hardly surprising. About 2 or 3 years ago, we did some research into AI for brain scans to detect tumors and stuff. And I was going to say 99.5% accurate, so very little false positives, way better than any human being. Like the best neurologists could not beat it. It was that good.
Mm. On a similar note, they've also said there was a link to it about mammograms as well. That those are far more accurate.
Yeah. I mean, it's still early
with AI
technology
analysis, which is fantastic use of it.
Yeah. It's still early for the technology, so it doesn't detect. Like, it's very specific for like one or like a couple of things that it can do versus a human being who can usually detect like all kinds of things. But for the things it is trained for, it is really good. Mm.
I want a list of the 15 hospitals, and I want to be checked over pretty quickly. Thank you very much.
I was thinking this myself.
I was a big fat bloke with a few years left. I want to make the most of it. It can spot minor heart problems undetected by routine scans. Oxford University researchers say identifying inflammation and scarring on the lining of blood vessels that supply the heart. Yeah. Jesus. That is good.
It's really good.
I just don't want there to be a hidden heart disease. I want all heart disease to be perfectly transparent and viewable, please. And I want obvious symptoms that show early.
Yeah. What do they have to hide? Like, they should just be open about it.
Yeah, I hate underhanded heart diseases.
Yeah, totally.
It should be up front.
Apparently, a standard cat heart scan, it can be you feed the data, you get out your standard cat heart scan into this machine, into the program or whatever it happens to be, and do the analysis. So it's not even like the hospitals need more gear. So I think it's technology band 15 size, yeah.
Yeah. Is it saying that the CAT scan is saying that after using a CAT scan, 3 out of 4 patients who've got chest pains are told they're all clear and they're not?
Yes.
But 1 of 5 of these goes into heart attack within a decade.
Mm. Oh dear.
So yeah, it does help. Christ, that sounds really great. I like that.
Based on the bloody conversation I had with Batwinch in the chat room before we even started, it's a lovely show tonight. Oh, it's full of spring.
Yeah.
The lamb is bounding through the undergrowth until and the meadow until suddenly it has a coronary.
Yeah, I remember like a couple of days ago there was also a story about, I don't remember which university it was in the US, but they finished the Apple Watch heart study and basically figured out that the Apple Watch can actually detect heart defects, which, I mean, Apple has so far said it can't.
Well, it can't because this is not a Mac show. There you go, save it for tomorrow.
So technology is changing our lives.
Yeah, and these are proper good things coming out. Proper health benefits that AI is actually being useful rather than being this airy fairy thing that people wave their arms about. Oh, look, we can do AI.
Yeah, and no, I've got to say, I
like this now that when there's stuff coming out that's actually properly useful.
I'm more
mammograms
lenient.
And heart disease. That's fantastic, right? What it should be for.
I'm more lenient on AI than I am on carbon graphene or whatever it is, because I still haven't seen that in graphene.
No.
Lightweights. Jeff Muller, have you got stories?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Jeff, go first.
I also have an update for you on the bomb.
On the bomb. Tell us.
It went off.
Yeah. So the bomb threat included a suitcase that was supposed to have the bomb, and that turned out to be empty. We know that as of a couple minutes ago, and they're still searching through the whole area to make sure that wasn't a decoy. But it appears that there's no bomb.
That's a good thing.
The stories you come up with just to get a few minutes extra for your tea to brew. Jesus, Jeff.
I'm not sure how to top this for next week.
Godzilla. There you go. Kong versus Godzilla being filmed at the end of my street. They evacuated us for safety.
Yeah. Well, you know, they did want us to get radiation. Anyhow. But hey, you know, despite all this, I still showed up with a story.
You did, mate. Well done. Something about Zuckerberg. Go on.
Okay. So, no secret. Facebook said a while ago they're changing the terms of service on WhatsApp and some of the privacy and security is going to be lost. And part of the big Facebook data breach that happened a couple years ago that included phone numbers and stuff, people were able to sift through that, and they discovered that Mark Zuckerberg has switched from using WhatsApp to using Signal.
Right. That's interesting.
I mean, that data breach was pretty massive, like 500 million data sets,
numbers
and names and everything.
Yeah, that was my other story this today, was there was Facebook says that the 508 million breach is old news, apparently.
Yeah, the breach itself is old news. The data that they're culling out of it, some of that is new news.
Yeah, well, no, exactly.
Not quite. The data, like the breach is known, but now the data is being sold or was offered.
That was
the difference. That was the difference that, like, now some, I mean, at least publicly, like, it might have been sold in the background and nobody knew about it. But now it's like, it was public that it was being sold. And someone got a hand on it, and it's now also on Have I Been Pwned. So if you want to know whether your phone number's in there, you can go there.
Yeah, and we know that Zuckerberg's phone number was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently if you want to really make sure that your conversations are private and secure, be like Mark and don't use his own products.
Do you reckon he changed his phone number?
Oh, I'm sure his phone number's been changed.
I bet.
At least I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, what it shows you is nothing is safe. Like, even if you hide it from, like, everybody and it's only on Facebook, only for you, eventually it's going to come out. Or any other platform. It's not Facebook specific.
Yeah. Yeah, just assume if it's
online.
So,
Muller, get your porn off our website. Yeah.
So, on Apple, Apple's updating the... I know this is not an Apple show, but it does tie in. Apple's new iOS is increasing security and privacy. Is that going to affect Facebook?
There's a huge fight going on, at least on Facebook's side, where they don't want these new measures that Apple's putting in place to actually happen, and they don't like the scorecard thing that Apple's requiring developers to include with their apps that show what data is being shared or collected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, like all the data, like at least the data we've seen so far, people gave that to Facebook, the phone numbers and whatever, like that wasn't like shared from like installing the app. People added that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So, people were, go on and we'll do that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I'm not sure. I mean, if you use WhatsApp.
If you use WhatsApp, your phone number's there.
Exactly.
No, and they, didn't WhatsApp. They just merge, or are they about to merge the data, I think?
Not in the UK. The UK is out of that. Well, we were. We've come out of the EU now, haven't we, sir?
That's not true. We're out of the EU, but it doesn't mean we're not still bound by the legislation. Because the legislation was this is where the thing is that people said, oh, I don't like being dictated to by Europe. Well, you're not, because there's a directive from Europe and it actually comes through as British legislation. So we're still bound by British legislation that's enacting European law. That hasn't mm-hmm. changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's where people were getting told utter bollocks by people that wanted us to leave the EU for their own ends. So.
Mm.
But we're not going down that route. We don't do politics.
No.
No. Yeah. So anyhow, I've had Signal installed for a long time.
Has Mark sent you a message?
Still hasn't. No, and I'm bastard. Really disappointed.
Even in your hour of peril. Me too. Even in your hour of peril, Jeff.
I know.
With the bomb down the street, you'd have thought the nasty bastard would have sent you something.
You would think, and yet here we are.
He's just a sociopath, mate. Not worth your time, mate. Don't.
I think I'm just not that popular, because for all the time I've had Signal installed, which has been at least a couple of years, I think I've had one message from a friend, and they were just testing to make sure that they had their Signal set up correctly.
Crossing I've off sent the list, you one. Mate, off the Christmas card list, straight away.
I've had more than one. That's right. I forgot.
It's like two messages.
Oh dear.
I've had two messages.
So Patrice has sent you a message and you couldn't even be bothered to remember it.
I'm a horrible person.
You are. And we're saying that Zuckerberg's a sociopath. As long as you get your tea, you care about no one else.
And I do have my tea, so I'm happy.
Blimey, Muller's been down the pub and bought a pint of ale, which we can all do next week. Get in, Boris.
Get in.
Haircut and a you bottle of beer. From
haircut and a pint. Haircut and a pint.
Haircut and a pint. Preferably pint first. Stuff the haircut. After one pint, I won't be that bothered about the haircut. Might not make it at all.
Who needs a
haircut? We'll have to go for a curry and a beer.
Oh, yeah. Milan will be open. Mm. Oh, it's May, though, won't he? Because he's indoor. So. The kismet.
Oh, well.
Right, Muller, come on, what's your story, mate?
All right, I'll go and get it. I was going to originally pick
this. What, is it in the other room or something?
Pardon?
You're going to walk away again? It's in the other room. Make a load of noise trying to look for your story in the cupboard.
I actually muted my. I was going to pick this as my cool thing, but I think it actually deserves a story.
I'd love to know it because we've had this as a cool thing. I picked this as a cool thing the other week, but go on, mate. Yeah, go on. I'd love to see how you're making this into a story.
Well, it's an app called What Three Words, and as you probably know, it divides the world up into 3 meter squares.
Yep.
Mm. But
it's an amazing app.
It is an amazing app. I used it today to do some geocaching. I bumped into Damo, and I was on my way to find some goodies, which I actually found. They're underneath a keyboard here, which I'll make a noise if I find it. My story some revolves drugs. Around. No, not quite. No. I've just destroyed my monitors now doing that.
You know, this is a technology show, right?
I know. You can still see me, though.
You're sure about it?
They've come back on anyway. That's the goodies I went for. There were stickers for a cycling group I'm a member of.
Okay.
But I used What Three Words, and I used the compass thing. But that's not the story. The story is it's been used by the emergency services more and more now. So if you're in a place where, say, where, and this is where I'm going to talk about your backwench, in a place where backwench lives, obviously a postcode could cover, a massive area. And postcodes were never designed. Well, British postcodes.
No, backwench lives on an estate, mate. It's fine. She'd get found.
I'm not going down.
She's not in a farmhouse out on a moor. It's fine.
Yeah, but
no, if she what was three going, words would be fantastic for that.
If she went for a walk though up into the lakes, obviously postcodes wouldn't cover it, and obviously not everyone's good with map references. So you can use what three words, and the emergency services in Britain now are turning to it. I think 37 and probably rising of. Police forces and emergency services systems now use What Three Words. So I think it's becoming a very important app now to have on your phone. It's not just an app for geeks. It's an app, really, if you're going to walk into the countryside and have an accent.
Brilliant.
Does What Three Words work in space?
Well, if you know you're going to walk into the country and have an accident, it's not really an accident anymore, is it?
No.
Oh.
Well, I'm off now, darling. I'm into the country. I may have an accident. I will have an accident. Batwinch has put down a postcode, which I wouldn't have advised. But actually, that's not your postcode. That's your postal area code. Your postcode needs the next three digits, Batwinch. So don't type those in the chat room. There's a good girl. Because that would be weird. And you may get a few people you don't want to hear from. But no, anyway, What Three Words is excellent. There's a company that I do work for, and they send me What Three Words for access to all their sites, and it's fantastic because you're not buggering around, especially when you get to industrial estates. The industrial estate I'm on for my studio, if you type in the postcode, it covers half a mile, and that's the full postcode, not just the area code, the full postcode. Is half a mile. It's ridiculous. And that still only is 22 addresses. So because every postcode is roughly 12 to 22 addresses. So it's a nightmare. What Three Words is the best thing you can do, and I think it's probably the best thing you can do for your business. Just do that, the three slashes, and then put private.address.un, and that's it. You're off and running, and people find you based on that. It's well worth adding to a business card. I'm definitely, next time we get a business card run, I'm definitely adding What Three Words code to it. No question.
Yeah. And I mean, other countries, I mean, in the US, the areas are relatively small. But here in Austria, I mean, my postal code area here, I want to say it's probably like 5 square kilometers or something.
Wow.
So pretty big. Like, good luck finding me here.
Yeah.
I think we'd find you.
Well, you actually look like you work for Al Qaeda, mate, which is why the place has only got a flag up and a nondescript wall culling. You wouldn't be able to find that. You wouldn't be able to find that down at B&Q Paint Coding and know where you bought it, would you? See,
I think they'll find you because all the tanks lined up.
Patrice is actually running an Al Qaeda terrorist cell.
It would be more like Democrat Party in the US. I don't know. So
there's the title. Patrice's ISIS terrorist cell.
I hope not.
Yeah, but you're thinking of the wrong ISIS. Patrice actually means the Egyptian goddess.
Oh, okay.
Oh, now I'm buying into it. Oh, you sycophant, Jeff. No, I'd love to see. Well, the thing is, though, how do you roll it out? Because it is a company, don't forget, and it is a company which potentially makes money from its app via your check-in details and the locations that you travel to, because that's like the Uber model, isn't it? It's they're not worried about the taxi fares. What they're worried about is gathering the data of where you've been and gone, which is what this is doing. So if you get promotional services from governments and things like that, that is... That there's a bit of that's not healthy. It's a little bit smelly, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how or what they get from it. Maybe that's something I need to look at.
Right, I looked it up for you.
But Jeff did some research because he's the only one that's a proper journalist.
Oh.
Okay. So this is directly from the What Three Words website. What Three Words is free for anyone to use via our app and online map. We make money by charging some businesses that benefit commercially from using our products. For example, What Three Words built into Mercedes-Benz's cars improves the customer experience for its drivers. So companies are paying for enhanced What Three Words service, and that's where they're making their money. So we're not the product in this case.
Are we really not? So that surprises me that they're not selling anonymized location data. I suppose it would be very specific.
I think the fact that emergency services start to use it is quite important because obviously they're going to have to pay for it. But it's allowing. I watched a program on TV where I think it was Northumberland Police use it, and a lot of police forces use it, but particularly in rural areas where obviously you give a postcode to your house and it could be down a little track somewhere and you would never find it. But with this app, you could use the compass. You get to the area, then you can use the compass and still find the actual house or the actual area where you need to be. Mm. I think it's absolutely a brilliant app, and I don't care if they are making money from it. They deserve to make money for it. And it's worldwide as well, so it could be used in Germany and Austria and the US. Yeah. So
I just find it amazing that there's enough words in the English language to divide the entire planet into 3 meter squares and still have probably have words left over that you could use combinations of. Back when she's telling me she knows I'm not stupid, that's why I only gave the area code. All right, mate, I wasn't calling you stupid. Jesus.
But we only get to the area code. We just ask, do you know Backwench? That goat, she lives down there.
Yes. Where do you get that picture, says Bob Muller? It's in Skype. And the one before was his paper round, so there you go. As a child, which accounts for why he looks so horrifically bad now. Sorry. Is Muller still here?
Pardon?
Just before I do the sponsors reads, I just want to say that, if you don't know it, we have a show called The News Show, which goes out every single day, every morning at 9 o'clock in your inbox. You will find, or in your podcast feeds, you'll find The News Show. It's done for us by a chap called Carl Swagger, who lives in the Philippines, and he gets up bright and early, waits till US has gone to sleep, makes The News Show before we're awake and passes it. It's the perfect place in the world to make a breakfast show for the UK about US tech. He gets paid for doing that. We pay him $250 a month to make it, and we rely entirely on donations from you, from the listeners, to pay that. Now, an awful lot of you gave us stuff in Patreon. I mean, a few years ago, we were taking $400 a month, and we kept that for Kyle's efforts. That slowly dwindled because PayPal's got a nasty habit of cutting off Patreon. So some of you may think that you're donating through Patreon. You probably aren't. I think this month we got $50 from them. And then we've also got our subscription keys, which Patrice set up for us. So you can click on and donate $5, $10, or $20. And again, a few of those have lapsed because PayPal's decided to lapse them. If you think that you want to sponsor us, that'd be great. If you think you already sponsor us, please go and check your payments, because there's a chance you aren't. And at the moment, in another 2 months maybe, we won't have enough to pay Kyle. So which is a shame, because that means that the news show is going to go away. So please, 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 we're only asking, if every listener to this show gave us $5, then it would pay Kyle for 10 years to do the shows. It would be a great thing if you could dig deep and support Kyle. He does an amazing job. I mean, it probably takes him between 2 and 3 hours to make the show each day. He does that for $250 a month. He's definitely doing this out of love. So please, if you do listen to the new show, you have to support Kyle in that regard. Otherwise, it gets nowhere. The other people that support us, TSO Host, they are fantastic. They give us all the servers to run on, they give us the domain names and that kind of stuff, and we pay nothing for it. We'd be lost. We couldn't afford the bandwidth that we consume through them. They're a great service, they're great people, they've been a great friend to this network for a long time now. They don't necessarily want you to buy everything that you want from them. It would be fantastic. Use your offer code BTN20. You're laughing. They're laughing. But what they really need from you, and this is, again, if you are a listener to any of our shows, you must get out on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, particularly Twitter. All they want is the brand recognition. Please make sure you do that, because that's what makes the difference to us being here and not being here. If we lose their support, we simply go. It's just that easy. And the other people that support us are iMenMax. They're fantastic. They're based here in Birmingham. They are a wonderful set of people who repair Macs. They've added to the team. There's another person joining them that I can't talk about yet. But there'll be a bigger team now going forwards. And anything with an Apple logo on it, they will repair it. Simple as that. They will take it in. If you've got something left over that's Apple and it's just cluttering up the drawer, get in touch with them, get it sent to them. They'll probably give you a few quid for it, because they'll either use it and resell it, or they'll use it and use it for spares for people. Most of the time you go to Apple, if you've got a machine and they say, oh, it needs a brand new motherboard, but you've got to pay for it, go to iMenMax. The chances are it's a bit of solder, it's a small component, it's an easy repair for Callum to do, and you'll walk away with a bill that's at least half. It could be far better. Yeah. Less than half in Patrice's case.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple, dead easy. So refurbished equipment, repaired equipment, buy your equipment off you for spares, and also they've got data recovery. So go to imenmax.com and get in touch with them, and they will help you. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Please start us off, Mr. Grant.
Where have I lost my tab where I had it in? Well, what I'm recommending is a service now you get older and everything else, and I've been using, is echo.co.uk. which is a prescription ordering service.
Oh, right.
For the UK. And you can get an app, and then you register it with your local GP. And then when you go and you want new meds or anything like that, as I say, we're all getting older now, need meds, the prescription comes via the app, you pay for it via the app, and it comes through the postbox.
Right.
What could be better? You know, it's particularly now when we don't go to...
Yeah, you need to
We don't go into the... We're not actually face-to-face for the doc anymore. All of this stuff happens without doing anything, really, you know.
Yeah, you've got to check, though, because that is an exclusive service to Lloyd's Pharmacy.
It is.
And not every Lloyd's Pharmacy does it, because the one in my village doesn't do it. So,
oh, right.
That you need to check whether they do it for your local pharmacy, because we can't get it, and it's a pain in the ass, because I'd love it. It'd be so much
easier.
Yeah,
it's a really good... It is a dead good service. If you need it, if you can get it, I recommend it highly. I'm very, very pleased with... teething just recently.
Yeah, Sharon's not missing the opportunity to take the piss out of me heavily at the moment, because I'm on pain relief still for my back, and I'm taking about 30 tablets a day.
Oh, Jesus, mate, yes.
Of various descriptions to keep the pain at bay. I rang up the doctors and I said, can I have some more of the codeine tablets? And they went, well, you only had them the other day. I said, you know, I'm on 8 tablets a day, right? That means that's 56 tablets in a week, and you only gave me 10 days ago, so I'm nearly out. And they're like, oh, right. Are you sure you're taking the right amount? Well, I'm taking the amount you told me to. Yeah. High as a kite.
Have you tried Boots? Boots do it, Ewan.
Do what? The prescription?
Delivery.
Yeah, but the problem is, I think it's whether your GP talks to that pharmacy as well.
Boots, oh, right. Boots do it, and I know they do it.
I'm not saying this is true, but I feel like there's an exclusive link between my doctors and my pharmacy. So that's
that's quite common.
I use the not patient app, which is national, but I can order my prescription. It goes to my doctor. It goes to my whichever pharmacy I want. But my pharmacy delivers it because I had a little chat with them one day because they let me down. And now they deliver it, so I'm all right. The wife doesn't get hers delivered, though, which really annoys her.
Patrice is sitting there looking at she's not listening. Four of us going, you old bastards. Pathetic old bastards.
We're all
I'm not pathetic, but you.
I was more... that's where my professional head comes in. I was more thinking about the different systems and... One of the things that are better in the US is actually that you can send your medication to any pharmacy in the country.
Yeah, the difference between us and the US is the fact the meds that I'm on at the moment I could probably buy over the counter.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I want some morphine. Yeah. Sure, no problem. Are you over 10? There you go.
No, they don't check that.
Do you want a free gun with that? Yeah, that's political again. I can't do that. But I'll get complaints.
I mean, I was surprised when I was in the States. It seems like you buy standard sort of paracetamol painkillers, and the size of the container you can get in the UK we're limited to 16 in one small pack. I mean, because of overdoses and things like that. It's why.
But in the US,
you have a smarty jar with 100 in.
Yeah, if you spend time here, you'll understand why we buy painkillers in bulk. Holy crap.
Yeah, no. I remember getting something to knock me out on the plane so I could sleep all the way home because I had to go back to work the following day so I wouldn't have jet lag. And the stuff I got just knocked me for six little tablets. And it wasn't melatonin, it was full-on sleeping pill. And I'm a bull elephant, and it dropped me in a heartbeat. It was brilliant. Excellent.
Yeah, you probably got the 16-pound version from Costco.
I remember going to Africa in the 1990s, and I wanted some painkillers, and I was quite gobsmacked that you could actually buy heroin. You could actually buy narcotics over the counter as painkiller, and it was openly on sale.
Yeah, it's not so.
Okay, I mean.
That's not
in
good.
Germany, you can buy it, but not over the counter, and it's like highly regulated.
It's controlled here. Everything's controlled. I mean, I can't remember the name of the tablet. Probably the one that Ewan's on. He's a controlled substance. It's a class B. Mm-hmm.
Mine's class C. The one that you're thinking I take is class C, but I don't take that every day.
I don't know. Yeah. I did have it when I had an operation on my arm, and
not the one I'm thinking of. It's not class C. I'm thinking of something different. Anyway, Jeffrey, before we reveal everyone's medical history, have you got a cool thing?
I do, and my cool thing is an iPad case and stand. So here's the case part of it, and if I get this right, there we go. Pops out like that, and now it's a stand.
That's pretty cool.
And so you have whatever angle you want it at, you can set it at, and it's actually really nice. And so this is called the Moft Float, and Moft. I mean, they're a good company. They have a good reputation, and
they do car chargers very well.
Hmm?
They do car chargers very well on Amazon.
Yes, they do. Yeah. So I've been playing with this for a couple weeks now. And it also has a little groove up here so that you can attach your Apple Pencil and it'll still charge.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is really nice. And the only complaint that I have is that if you're tapping the screen a lot, it's kind of bouncy and wobbly. Not like it's going to fall over, but like it kind of bounces on.
The design, you're thinking it's probably trying to just get a nice keyboard angle for you, and you stick a keyboard in front of it.
Yes. Yeah. So the way I use this is set it up like it's a display, and use a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse with it, and it's great.
I saw my mate Matt yesterday. He came over to see us, and he was sitting showing. He's buying a new house, and he showed Sharon and me the pictures on it. And he got his iPad out, and it's got the foldable stand with keyboard in it. And he lent it back, and I just expected him to carry on turning it and moving it back. And he didn't even clip the iPad from it, and then set the thing down. I'm like, "You're kidding! That doesn't fold flat, so you can use it as a tablet." And he went, "No, no." I said, "How much did that cost?" that would piss me off much. Immensely. It doesn't fold into a tablet that I can use. No, you've got to take the whole stand off, and it's erected as a stand. You just put it down somewhere, anywhere on the edge of a table. It falls off. What a shit design that is.
That's poor
and expensive. To boot.
I've had one of their laptop stands for ages. It's on my MacBook Pro, and it works really good. Really good. Surprising for what is essentially a bit of folded up cardboard.
Yeah, good cool thing.
It stunk to the bottom of me. Yeah, it stunk to the bottom of me iPad, me thing. Yeah.
Right then, Patrice, talk us through your pick, because this is something that intrigues me, because I've seen it for years and I've never got into it.
Okay. There's a lesser known Stanley TV show produced in the UK, at least. Yep. It plays heavily in the UK, so I would assume it.
No, it's thoroughly British. It's all Sky based, I think.
It's Stanley's Lucky Men, and is it the best Marvel show ever? No. But it's a solid show. I mean, it's definitely not like a, at least for me, outsider, like high class A cast. Like the actors, I didn't know any of them before.
Oh, they're good. I mean, so.
But they're good. Yeah, like they're not bad.
You're looking at there on the left hand side, the blonde guy, he's been in quite a lot of TV dramas and stuff like that in the UK, mm-hmm. Holby City and that kind of thing. And he's a good actor, I grant you.
James Nesbitt is as well. James he's a good Nesbitt, actor. He's
been, yeah, like, James, he's a James very Nesbitt, good actor. I mean, I didn't know before this, but he is a good actor. Like, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I've never heard of them.
Yeah, he's been in a few things where he was a character as well, and he hides his character pretty well. He's a good character mm-hmm. actor.
Yeah, and it's a very intriguing story. I mean, Stan Lee is in the very first episode, like as always. Like, there's a little cameo where he like shows up somewhere. And the story is really interesting. Like, James Nesbitt plays a cop. Not the best cop you could ever imagine, like a gambling addict, like he's doing okay, but not very successful, like a lot of struggles. And he basically, how to put it, he comes into luck, like he gets a bracelet that makes him super lucky.
Now there's a payoff, isn't there, for his luck? That's the...
Yeah, the problem is that, and I'm not going to give away like what happens, but like the problem is that luck comes with a massive price.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a payoff for every time he uses the luck, so it's...
Yeah,
it's,
exactly. Yeah. So, but he has to learn that. Like, he at first he thinks like he's super lucky, but then, yeah, there's like a little mystery behind it, and the whole story is really, really good. Like, there are a lot of good actors, good episode, good writing.
Is it available on Disney,
if it's available? It's on Sky Go in the UK.
Yeah, yeah, I've got it on Sky.
Yeah, it's not on Disney. You can buy it on Amazon or Apple TV or Google Play.
Right.
I think for the US, I think you have to buy it. I don't... it might be on DirecTV, I think, yeah. It's on DirecTV, cool. And other than that, you have to buy it. But it's a good show. Like, I'm rewatching it. Like, I've watched all episodes. I think they're continuing. There should be a new season at some point.
If I can get it free, I'll watch it.
Yeah, but it's a solid show. Like, I really enjoyed it, especially if you're into Stan Lee without the Marvel stuff.
Excellent.
Because that's like it's not a Marvel show.
It's a bit of a fantasy show. It's not superhero.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah, it is. But it's not like it's not crazy fantasy. Like it's like realistic fantasy. Like, there's a little mystery aspect and the luck thing, but other than that, it's like. It's kind of a combination of a fantasy show with like a cop show of some sort, because there are murders and stuff like that. So it's
Back when she's loving on Nesbitt and saying he's a great straight actor and comedy actor, but Trigger's not having it. He's saying he's had his hair done. He's got it's a rug. Muller, what's your cool thing? You're on mute. for the first time.
That's his cool thing. He got
first,
the mute
he got the mute button. For the first time ever, he's on mute.
Okay, back with
Bravo,
you.
Bravo, mate. Bravo.
So I'll just, I've already put the link in, actually.
I know. It's, go on, just talk. That's the way it works.
Oh, sorry. It's another show, actually. It's on Prime. It's called Loudermilk. It's an American series. And I have actually been laughing my absolute bits off with this one. I didn't swear. He's a recovering alcoholic. And the humour is sharp. It's witty. It's cutting. It's dark. And it's absolutely hilarious. And I actually listened to a podcast that actually one of the people that acted in it was talking about it, and it wasn't available in America, apparently, because the TV channel went bust or something, but apparently it's coming to the US this year, so they're going to get all three series dropping all at once in the US. But I'll tell you what, if you live in the US, start watching it. If you're on Prime, start watching it. It's absolutely hilarious. Well worth watching.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's on Prime in the US.
Yeah, it's on Prime, but in America, it was on I can't remember the channel, but the channel went bump, and it hasn't been shown. In fact, it's not on Prime in America yet. I think it drops in the next week or so.
Cool.
It's been in the UK for a while now, but I caught onto it and I'm loving it. And it's only 30 minutes, so 30 minute chunks. So
yeah, I'm quite enjoying those little, because if they're good watches, we were in the middle of Schitt's Creek at the moment, and I didn't enjoy it at the start, but I'm getting a bit more into it in season two, and apparently season three is way better. So, but I do like that little 30-minute show, especially when you've got seven seasons to catch up on. It's when you've only got like one season and it's the first season, you're like, oh, I want to carry on with this. But good pick.
What I like about this is it's not that sort of US formulaic. You know, the US writers have a formula, but this doesn't follow it, and it's brilliant. It's really cutting, and the humour is it ticks my boxes anyway.
Oh, excellent, mate. We always love things that tick your box. My cool thing is Widgetsmith. Okay, so.
Oh, it's great.
Good one.
Now, Widgetsmith, you can get it for your desktop app. So that's one thing, but they also do a version of it for your iPhone. So if you remember, I've always said, why can't I have like a CarPlay system whereby I can have really big widgets for when I'm driving and then have all the other stuff for when I'm not driving? And I've got Widgetsmith. So all I do is I create big old widgets for the few apps that I actually want to use when I'm driving on page one, and then I can skim to page two for all the stuff that I want to use on a regular basis. Simple as. And it's free. Absolutely free. It offers in-app purchases, but you don't need them. Just use Widgetsmith. I can't find the iPhone app on an internet browser, though. I can find it on the phone, but I can't find it on the browser. So there is another one as well that's called Color Widgets or something like that, which does a similar job. But Widgetsmith, and it gets you the driving widgetry that you always fancied on the iPhone.
Mm.
Well worth it. Worth every penny. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Grant? You look knackered, mate.
I am tired today, actually. Yeah. I'm your usual place you can find me. I'll be here. I'll be on LinkedIn. I'm on The Big Show, as always, every week. I'm probably in a bed soon.
Yeah, no.
But that's where you can find me.
Good, pal. Great to have you. Jeff, piss taking aside, glad you're safe, brother.
And and we just got the official all clear from Boulder Police, and it turns out there were multiple
suitcases
locations for these potential bombs, and
that weren't.
Yeah. So anyhow,
so what they're saying is they found four suitcases unattended that had some dirty undies in.
Probably. Well, yeah. At least one of them actually was a suitcase. But there was an actual bomb threat that went along with all of them.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Were they put there by the animals?
Give us $1 million or we'll blow up me undies.
Yeah. And Mueller, no, not by the animals, because they're so clever. They don't actually need to threaten us with bombs to be as effective as they are. They're very
the bear,
clever.
the bears might have left them. You know, they were wandering down, got scared because you all come out your houses.
No, if it was the bears, they wouldn't have given us any warning. They would have just waited till dark, planted the bombs, and blown us up.
Without opposable thumbs? I think not.
Well, they partner with the raccoons for that.
Are you saying that raccoons have got opposable thumbs? Or are you saying that you got the two of them paw to paw doing like a Marcel Marceau mirror thing trying to plant bombs?
The raccoons, I don't know if it's an actual opposable thumb, but they have incredible dexterity, well enough the bears are happy to use them as their cohorts to blow stuff up.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. Yes, that too.
I know that joke. Oh my God, that hidden heart disease is creeping up on Muller.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, and the funny thing for me is when the bears get the bomb set up, they tell the raccoons, okay, now you have to stay here and hold this button. Just keep pressing it down. Just hold it. It's all going to be okay. And then the bears run away and
holding it down with their opposable thumbs.
With their opposable thumbs, bomb goes off, and now there's no one to testify against the bears.
Have you been talking to Greeny during the week?
You would think.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have a whole box of size 9 left shoes, you know, if anyone's in the market.
See, this is back when she's joining on the background, go, raccoons are bloody clever as well. Yes, I get that. They're clever things and they're vicious and nasty little bastards. But you can't imbue an opposable thumb on just because they're vicious and nasty and clever.
Well,
do you know what I learned this week?
The raccoon space program is not a thing.
Not yet.
And we are lucky for that.
Yeah. Quite. Absolutely.
Yeah, they would have been to Mars already.
Yeah, sniffed out a bit of garbage and come back.
Checking all the trash cans on Mars.
Yep.
Of which we've now got about half a dozen.
There's a local farm not far from here, and they've got a sheep grid. And the sheep have found a way to go across it. And you know how they get across it?
You know, put a plank down. They put a plank down.
They were going into people's gardens and eating all their flowers and whatever. And they were all moaning, so the farmer put a sheep grid in. Do you know they got across it? They actually just lay on the back and rolled over it. And carried on eating the villagers' plants, and they're livid, and I found it so funny.
I thought one of them just sacrificed themselves, let their legs go through, and then everyone walked over his back.
No, they were so clever. They literally lay on the back and just rolled over it. It was... and the farmer's going to the... I tried.
This
I can't
was a decent
stop
show until just now. What? Patrice, where can we get hold of you?
You can find... You can find me every week here on The Big Show and also tomorrow and every week on The Mac Show. You can find everything I'm doing, like all the social media links and so on, on thepatrice.com.
Excellent.
And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. There's a new episode out with Tom Ferry's partner.
Oh, that's been a while. You haven't got a new one.
That is a new one. That was published last week Friday.
But you recorded that a while ago, though.
I recorded that a while ago, yeah. I've been busy. There's a new one with Mike Rose, so that's coming up.
Mike Rose one, right, got you.
Mm-hmm.
And last but by no means least, Muller, where are you, buddy?
Well, I can be found here training raccoons to stop sheep going across. Anyway.
Do they pay well?
One of my current... Pardon?
Do they pay well for their training?
No, I have to pay them. They're
very
clever.
I wish I hadn't, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I wish I hadn't said it. Go on.
I'm one of my on Twitter training raccoons to stop sheep going across cattle grates.
Excellent. Desperate for the show title there, but not going to get it. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on Twitter at British Tech. Please don't forget to support British Tech via the news show and subscriptions, please. They're all available on all of the podcast pages and BritishTechNetwork.com. Thank you very much for those people that do and have given for a long time. Those of you that don't, thank you for the donation you're about to give. We'll be back again next week on Thursday, normal time, normal space, normal people, talking rubbish about the week's
tech. Normal?
I'm not too sure about the normal part.
Have a great weekend. And watch out for the raccoons with opposable thumbs.
They're the dangerous ones.
Clever little bastards.
And then